Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join the conversation here this afternoon, or at least stick with us. And if you do want to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And this afternoon, I want to continue a discussion that actually, if you were listening in the last half hour, I was filling in for Pastor John Lutz, the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, on their program for the cause of Christ, which precedes this program at 1 o'clock until 1:30. And I was talking about the idea of science and the Bible, specifically intelligent design and creation in regards to the Scriptures, and the other counterpoint to that, evolution, and some of the things that people say about it. And I had started in the last program with the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20 and 21, where Paul wrote to Timothy, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." And we're talking about people who are opponents of those who believe in creation, special creation by God, or intelligent design, some kind of intelligent designer, God, or whatever it might be. And the false accusations that are put against people such as myself who believe in these type of positions, intelligent design or biblical creation. And again, we do have to separate intelligent design and biblical creation, because intelligent design, as I said, just simply assumes that there was a designer. You don't have to believe in God to believe in intelligent design. You can be a Muslim, you could be a Hindu, you can be just about anything. You can even be an atheist. I'm reminded of a short story by Isaac Asimov, and I can't remember the title, but in the course of the story, it had this computer called, I believe it was Multivac, that they kept improving. And after trillions of years, the universe ran down, and Multivac had accumulated all the knowledge in the universe and had put its structure in hyperspace, which is just an imaginary area, but for the purpose of the story. And way back in Multivac's early days, somebody had asked essentially, what is the meaning of everything? And when entropy causes the whole universe to run down to and become cold, can it be restarted? And throughout the centuries and throughout the millennia, people would ask Multivac a similar question, and the answer would always be the same: insufficient data for a meaningful answer. And then, as all the stars winked out and there was entropy, which is caused by the second law of thermodynamics, had caused all the energy in the universe to basically grow cold, and the universe went dark and cold, and the only thing that was left was Multivac existing in hyperspace. And after a while, Multivac continued to ponder the question and said, "We now have sufficient data to answer the question." And then Isaac Asimov closes the short story by saying that Multivac says, "And let there be light." And, of course, an obvious reference to the Genesis account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and we see where it says, "And God said, let there be light," and in Genesis chapter 1. Now, that was just a short story, but I mentioned that to let you know that you can even believe in intelligent design without believing in God. And in that story there, Multivac becomes an intelligent designer. And there's all sorts of other things that people come up with. I once had a conversation with somebody at the Medina County Fair a few years ago, where he was spending a lot of time and a lot of effort working on computer programming to simulate the creation of the universe. And he was confident that with all the time and energy that he and the intelligence that he was pouring into this, he could prove that the universe happened by accident. And I said, well, that proved that with a lot of time and effort and intelligence, you could come up with a way to design the universe. And but intelligent design doesn't necessarily mean that you're a biblical creationist. And then, of course, biblical creationists believe that the God of the Bible spoke the worlds into existence, the heavens, the earth into existence. And then there's varying types of them. There's young earth creationists and old creationists and things of that nature. Basically, some believe that the creation week took millions of years, and some believe there's a gap in there of billions of years. And others, such as myself, believe that it took place in literal 7 24-hour days, and that was probably less than 7 or 8,000 years ago, probably less than seven. And as we look at some of these things, it affects the way that we view science. But intelligent design and creation, there's a lot of people who, with a great deal of training, a great deal of education, PhDs and such, that believe in this. And to rule people out that believe this as ignorant and uneducated, as many on the other side do, shows a profound bias. And then to try to say that you have no bias when it comes to studying origins and the creation of the universe. But we see in the Bible, there are the oppositions of science falsely so-called. And, you know, used to be scientists believed the earth was flat. Most scientists don't believe that today. And if you had said that the earth wasn't flat, that it was actually a sphere, as the Bible indicated, as a Bible-believer of the day could have pointed to, they would have said, well, you're wrong, you're ignorant, you're uneducated, you have no intelligence, you have no education. And even further back, when people believed that the earth was a flat pancake, seated on the back of several elephants, on the back of a sea turtle swimming through the abyss, and you said, no, I don't believe that, they would have said, well, you're wrong, you're uneducated, you have no training, you have no knowledge, and you should be quiet. Well, that's what happens today. I had brought up a point in the last half hour, and I want to reiterate it, bring it, and build on it here. The idea that if intelligence design is true, this one person commenting on an article I was reading said, either Earth is so special that God wasted a lot of time on the rest for no real reason. Now, that's a false statement. I believe that God had plenty of reasons, and even if we don't know all the reasons, God created the vastness of the universe for reasons, one of which, of course, is identified in Genesis chapter 1, I believe in verse 4, where it says that they were created, you know, for signs and for seasons. That's just one. I believe there's a lot more. And then either the earth is so special that God wasted a lot of time on it for no real reason, or on the rest of the universe for no real reason. The other alternative he suggests is Earth is not special, and therefore Jesus can't be special. Now, that's doesn't really follow through there, but he says it, he asserts it, and so therefore it must be true, because after all, he doesn't believe in intelligent design, so therefore he must be knowledgeable. And he says Jesus cannot be special, as every planet with life would have had to have its own Jesus. And at the very least, that means millions or trillions of Jesuses scattered throughout the universe, basically. And that's not true either. And as I touched on the last half hour, I believe that there could be forms of life, a bacterial, some sort of plant or animal type of life, maybe some other types that we don't really quite recognize on other areas. The reason I say that is that, and I believe that God would have created those forms of life. And the reason I say that is when God created man, he put us in a certain part, he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then told them to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And of course, you know the story of Genesis, and then the flood of Noah. And when Noah and his family got off the ark, they in turn were given the command again to multiply and fill the earth. And as they spread around the earth, they went to various continents, their descendants did, various islands, and they found animals, plants, and various types of bacteria and fungus and things like that, things that were useful to them when they arrived there. And if God wanted us to fill the earth and possibly expand beyond the the earth throughout the physical universe, then perhaps God has seeded life, or I shouldn't say seeded, I should say created life in other areas of the universe, so that when we were to get there, we would find useful forms of life that would be beneficial to us when we got there. Now, that's my opinion. That's speculation. The Bible doesn't tell us that. And so if you have these forms of life there, this is not sentient life that has a knowledge of God and a desire to worship a God or something of that nature. No, the only two forms of sentient life that we see created are human beings and angelic beings. And we might have an ape or a dolphin or something that comes out fairly intelligent, but we have no apes or dolphins that have forms of religion or religious worship or religious concepts, and you don't find any secret dolphin tombs under the sea or temples under the sea or anything like that. But there's no tribe or group of people that's ever been discovered that has had no form of religious belief. It's a part of our nature. It's a part of our makeup. God created human beings with an awareness of God, and that's why all groups of people ever discovered and past, present, have variations on some form of religious belief. So the idea that there'd have to be millions or trillions of Jesuses scattered around the universe, that's a false statement either. And then, of course, the comment went on to say that a third alternative is that Jesus was nothing more than a crazy man with a delusion. Now, all of these are specious arguments. They logically do not hold true, and they're just assumptions that are presented as facts. And see, people on both sides can do this. I once heard a seven-day biblical creationist state that he believed there could not be any form of life of any kind on any other planet because the Bible says that Eve was the mother of all living. And that obviously meant that she was the mother of all the living people. She's the mother of all human beings. It didn't mean she's the mother of all living organisms, because obviously there were organisms that were alive that were living before Eve was created. According to the biblical account of creation, Eve was created on the sixth day. And we know from the biblical account of creation that on the second day, I believe is here, or I'm sorry, on the third day, God created plant life. And then, of course, we see that on the fifth day, there was the sea life, the bird life, things of that that was created. And then earlier on the sixth day, animals, various types of animals were created. Adam was created before Eve. And so Eve obviously wasn't the mother of all living organisms on earth or elsewhere. And I heard this statement actually repeated by this individual more than once, trying to say there couldn't be even, or implying there couldn't be even bacteria or plants or something growing in some other portion of the solar system or the universe because Eve is the mother of all living. No, there are no human beings living elsewhere. If there were human beings living elsewhere, they would have had to come from the planet Earth at some time in the past and go there. And then in which case they'd be human beings descended from Adam and Eve. They would have a sin nature, and they would need Jesus Christ as their Savior as well. And so we need to understand that. But again, intelligent design and does not say that there can't be life in other parts of the world, and biblical creation doesn't really rule that out either. Of course, the Bible concentrates on the creation of life on this planet, and it does so for a reason. The reason is the Bible is not primarily a science book. It covers science, and it's accurate when it covers science, and I can give you an example here. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 12, God says, I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host have I commanded. And there are several other passages that talk about this concept of stretching out the stretching out the heavens. And we can see that in, for instance, so let's see, I think in Psalm 100 and let's see, I want to say Psalm 104, I believe it is. And I lost my place here. Let me see if I can find that again real quick. I flipped my page over and I lost it. I went to the wrong psalm. Psalm 104, and give me just a moment. Psalm 104, and verse number 2, there it is. It says, talking about God, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. And we see this idea of the heavens being stretched. And there's a lot of times people will come up with the question, well, if the earth is, or I'm sorry, if the universe is so big, and if it's only been around for a short period of time, how do we get starlight from stars that are billions of miles away, billions of light years away, I should say, in a short period of time? And even some secular scientists have speculated that one of the things that gives the apparent distance of various stars from the Earth, and the idea that the universe is currently stretching out in every direction at the same time, they've used the example that the universe is like a balloon. And if you put a couple of dots on a balloon and you start blowing up the balloon, those dots, as the balloon stretches, are growing further and further apart as the balloon grows, as the balloon inflates. And that could have something to do with it. Now, secular scientists have come up with these ideas, and guess what? The Bible talks about God stretching out the heavens, and there are several passages that deal with that, and I gave you two of them, one in Isaiah, one in Psalms, and the idea that the stretching out of the heavens might have something to do with the explanation why light from stars that seem to be further away than they may actually be is redshifted, which shows that they're receding from us, and it might help to explain it, because there's a lot of evidence that some of the stars that we take for granted, you'll see estimates that they're so many light years away, that those numbers are not really accurate. In fact, a lot of astronomers really don't know how far they are. And part of the problem is because when we try to make a determination, you know, they'll estimate the distance to a star by focusing on it when the Earth is in one position in its orbit around the sun. And then when it's on the other side of the sun, that's a pretty far distance. And then they'll try to take a fix on the star again using a triangulation approach through basic trigonometry, they'll estimate how far away that star is from the Earth. And the problem with that is that in the vast distances of the universe, the position of the Earth on two different sides of the sun is really not much. And the less distance you have between the two points that you take your fix from, the greater the area of uncertainty in regards to where that star is that you're looking at. And so we don't know exactly how far all these stars are away. But, you know, science falsely so-called, as Paul warned Timothy about, we need to have an open mind about some of these things. And just because science can't explain it or a young earth creationist can't explain it, it doesn't mean God's word's not true. And we, by faith, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, we believe that God formed the heavens and the earth, and that he did it through the person of Jesus Christ. So our faith and has to do with our bias. My bias is because of my faith in Christ, my faith in God's word. And so I view these things from a biblical position. Now, the person who rejects God, rejects the Bible, they have a bias as well. They have just as much faith that God does not exist, and so their faith affects their bias as well. And so just like, as I said in the last half hour, the pessimist looking at the glass half empty and the optimist looking at the glass half full, your bias determines how you view certain things. And so we can look at many of these things, and the person who rejects God comes up with a way, and they have to deal with things, and they have to fit them in, such as ultimately, where did everything come from? And my faith tells me ultimately everything comes from God. I was expressing that to somebody one time, and he said, well, if you believe that everything came from God, where did God come from? And I said, well, I believe that God has always existed. He had no beginning. In fact, logically, there's a good logical proof that shows that there has to be an ultimate cause, because you cannot have an infinite series of causes or of actions that were produced by causes, because you cannot recede infinitely into the past that way, because then by logical deduction, you can prove that there was no cause in the beginning to get the chain started. Therefore, without a first cause, there couldn't have been a first result to cause the second cause, and so on and so forth. But God would be the first cause. And I said, God has always existed. He had no creator. He had no origin. He just always existed. And he's the ultimate cause. And the guy said, well, that's silly. And he said, I believe that everything came from the Big Bang. And I said, well, where did the singularity come from? He said, well, the singularity just existed. It always existed. It was always there. And then I smiled, and then he realized what he said. He was basically saying the same thing I said, that his first cause was a singularity instead of God, like my first cause. And his first cause, like mine, also had no beginning and had no creator. It always existed. Now, some people would say, well, no, there's a series of universes, a series of big bangs and big crashes and things like that. And so therefore, the singularity was the result of something else. Well, okay, all matter and energy is basically the same thing. Matter and energy are functions of the same forces and the quantum level. And you know, people get into quantum physics and string theory and M theory and all that. But here's the thing. It all boils down to energy. And if all the energy that created the universe was bound up in the singularity, and where did that energy come from? What created the initial first energy that created the initial first singularity that created the initial first bang? And of course, the laws of physics, entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, energy is going, things are going from order to disorder, the universe is running down. Even if there was a series of big bangs, each successive big bang would be less organized than the one before it. And therefore, eventually it would reach a stopping point. And it would also imply, of course, that there was a beginning. So where did the energy come from? And if you don't believe in God, you have to believe that the energy is eternally existent. Somebody once said that you either believe in an eternal somebody with infinite power, or you believe in an infinite somebody with infinite power, or you believe in an infinite something with infinite potential. I choose to believe in the infinite someone with infinite power. And that infinite someone is God, who is eternally self-existent, who, for his own reasons, chose to create the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that we were created, the heavens and the earth were created for his glory. But in the midst of that creation, he set us, human beings, with a free will to choose to love him and to follow him and to obey him. And of course, by giving us free will, we had to have the choice to disobey him. And that, of course, is the Genesis chapter 3 story, where Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. They sinned against God, and the human race was plunged into sin. That, of course, also explains the presence of pain and suffering in the world, because evolutionists will say, if God is perfect, how can there be pain and suffering in the world? And the answer to that is because there's free will, and man chose to reject God. And by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we do this program. We want to encourage you to establish a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who gave you free will, the one who created you, and the one who gives you the opportunity to accept him or reject him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to forgive you of your sin, and he wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. But it's your choice. You have free will. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. There's ample reason to believe that God exists. He created you and wants a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.